Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts.
But one of the best the advice I got very early on was build a brand. Like, don't worry too much about the product and your patent and how long you have it and what it means and will you be ripped off, knocked off. Build your brand. Build your brand. Because I've had plenty of little knockout, little, looks like a Nod Pod, or looks like our blanket. We have a body pod, weighted pod that has a design patent. My mask has a utility, but I'm like, imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Melissa, welcome to Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon. You are the visionary founder of Nod Pod. From the spark of an idea to revolutionizing how we think about sleep, your story is a testament to creativity, perseverance, and the power of a woman-led initiative in the exciting and competitive world of selling on Amazon. Y'all, get ready to be inspired by Melissa's insights, learn from her challenges, and celebrate the success of Nod Pod, a brand that's not just selling a product, but it is enhancing the well-being of its customers around the globe. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's awesome to be here.
I am so excited to hear about the inspiration behind the creation of Nod Pod and just how you turned that inspiration into a successful business.
Yeah. So when I just sort of look back on my life, I think I've always been someone that as a little girl, I've got the lemonade stand outside, or like I'm always trying to find a way to make a few bucks. And so I guess you can say I was born with an entrepreneurial spirit. But, fast forward to like in college and, for reference, like, okay, so I graduated, feels like eons ago, but when, I'll just say back in the day when I was younger the idea of selling on, like creating a product and selling on Amazon, like it just wasn't there yet. Like it was pre Amazon, pre Shark Tank, pre everything. It was like, not to be all over the place here, but the excitement of sharing my story and just to inspire others, the fidget spinner. I don't know if anyone's listening, had a kid with a fidget spinner. I have three. They're all obsessed. When I Googled who invented the fidget spinner, was back in the 90s. So I'm a child of, college, high school, 90s. And she invented it. She went to four places, Mattel, like big companies. They all said no. What did she do at that point? Nothing. She just put up her idea. Her patent expired 20 years later. And then boom, the whole world is got a fidget spinner in their back pocket. I lead with this story because if she was today, like Amazon, right? Like I'm gonna do this. I don't need big company to say, no, pass. And then you just shelf your big idea. Like, no, keep going, right? I love sharing that story because when I thought of, Shark Tank sort of inspired season one, I think it democratized inventions. Like just the you, the me, the anyone can come up with an idea, see a need, fill a need, and go for it and just dream big. And so with season one of Shark Tank, I'm like, oh, wow, this is like someone just like me, just anyone can just see a need, fill a need, create an idea and make it happen. Like I was just lit on fire. And it took me some years to, I'm now like looking for something that I'm passionate enough about. Like at the time there was this movie Robots and it was just this cute, like see a need, fill a need. And I was always thinking, okay, see a need, fill a need. Like where's a need? Where's my purpose? Like what I want to be so inspired by something. And 4 years later, I reached for the arm of my sweatshirt and it was a cross country motorhome trip. And we just bought a motorhome, we had two little kids and like, where do we go from California? Disney World. So we drive and I had I've always been a sleep mask wearer. And I had one in particular that had these little pillows on the inside of the eye covering. It was just these soft little pillows. And I loved the gentle pressure against my eyelids. And I left it at home. And it was like, I wasn't sleeping very well. I'm very sensitive to light. And I'm tossing and turning. And my husband was just pulling an all-nighter. We pull into a Walmart parking lot. Not a lot of people know that you can run your generators or like just stay overnight without like loitering or just, you know, you can, it's a thing. You can pull a motorhome into a Walmart parking lot. And that's what we did. Awesome. And the lights are so bright and I'm tormented and I'm tossing and turning and I'm almost asleep. And I reach for my, the sleeve of my cozy fuzzy sweatshirt and I tossed it over my eyes. And it was like, I wasn't even thinking about entrepreneuring or anything like that. I'm just trying to get to sleep. And when that moment happened, it hit me like thunder. I'm like, oh my gosh, I couldn't sleep. I was like just instantly obsessed with this idea of a long strap-free sleep mask, like something long, something strap-free. Okay. It's designed to get you to sleep, not to stay on. It's just kind of, so that was the eureka moment. And so I'm next day Googling, looking online, nothing's like it. And my mom, after our trip, I flew her out. She's an excellent seamstress and she's helping me make my prototype. At the time, my kids had a whole pile of Beanie Babies and yeah. I wash and dry them. So I'm like, what's this film material? Because I want to be able, we need to weight it with something. Like it can't be flimsy. It has to have a little something to it. I didn't want to fill it with like an organic lavender or seed because I wanted the convenience of washing and drying it like I do with my children's plush toys.
Yeah.
So I researched the beads in these plush toys and I came across a website of this family that was making them in something called a weighted blanket. Now, this is back in 2010 to give you kind of an idea of how long I've been really, you know, like passionately obsessed about Nodpod. So like, oh, a weighted blanket. What's this? So at the time I'm learning, it's called deep touch pressure stimulation. And it was used, this phenomenon had been used for about 30 years in the special needs space. So that's people with anxiety, depression, PTSD, all of these sensory deficiencies, they find comfort and security and calmness under a weighted blanket. I'm like, wait a second, what? Like, why isn't this out there for me? I'm a mom of toddlers. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sleepless. I'm stressed. I've got stress. Like, this is incredible. So that's when this idea of mine turned into not just this kind of like light blocking device. It was a wellness product. Like, you mean to say that anytime we have gentle, constant pressure, and that can be you just placing your hand over your chest, if you're feeling anxious and applying gentle pressure, you're going to feel a sense of calm. It's simple. It's real. It's called deep touch pressure stimulation. It's like, we call it magic at Nodpod, as opposed to like light touch pressure stimulation would be the opposite effect. Like, so a fly lands on you or a spider or a little tickle and your whole body sort of jumps. So it sort of makes sense, right? Like our central nervous system has two responses to touch, light touch, deep touch. Well, the deep touch pressure, I'm like, well, that is exactly the kind of thing I want to lay over my face at night when I'm trying to turn my brain off and get to sleep. So I'm just like, wow, so now I'm like doubly exploded in excitement and obsession and beads everywhere, fuzz material. Like it was like a constant laboratory and I'm giving them to friends and family and they all like concur. They're like, this is weird looking, but it seems to really help me get to sleep. I'm like, okay, I'm on to something. So then it takes me some years. I mean, it does. It takes time when you have I'm bootstrapped, solo founder, no idea what I'm doing. I see people on TV doing it. So I know you can do it. I just have to find out how I'm going to do it. Okay. So I'm getting it done. I finally fast forward. I kind of get my first product and I had a website, but having a website at that time for me was like having a lemonade stand. I might as well have gone down to the end of my street and put my little product on a table and just like if people drove by.
Right.
You know, because no one knew I existed. Like, yes, I nodpod.com, I was for sale. But I really wasn't for sale until I was on Amazon. Like, I knew that's where I needed to be. And what I love about Amazon was there was no gatekeeper. There wasn't like, well, that's funny or that's weird or I don't understand. Why do you want to put weight on your body? What is that? Like, because as I'm trying to sell it on a wholesale level, I'm doing trade shows. It's like when you're pioneering in a space, you get a lot of objections. Like, I don't know if I want to be the first to put that on my shelf. I don't really get it because Nodpod preceded the launch of Gravity Blanket by 2 years. So it's me. I've got zero budget for anything. I'm like completely just, like I said, it's like a lemonade stand, you know?
I love the lemonade stand idea. And the advantage, you just pointed out like just something gold right there. Selling on Amazon is your opportunity to have your storefront and show them through your pictures why they need this and the problem that it really solved for you.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of Amazon. That's why I absolutely love the way that Amazon has set it up. So sellers like you and I can just build out beautiful stores that within seconds, people completely understand your product.
Yeah. But it helped too, because I'm not at the time, it's like, I have no marketing background. I have no idea of how to size a photograph, how to, you know, what, like to have them, it was a level playing field. My product looked just as professional and just as good as everybody else's. So I felt like, hey, me too. Like, you don't know when you're shopping that I'm, you know, a mom at home, like just hustling, trying to figure this out. And, you know, mistakes that I'm making are my only really teacher and lead. You know, that's it. Amazon, I am forever so thankful, so grateful. I mean, you know, we've come a very long way. We're in a lot of big doors now, but I'm still like, Amazon, you are my, like, you're my number one. You're my number one. It's such an incredible marketplace for sellers that really believe in what they're selling. They have a store, they have a product that they support and, you know, believe in. And I just can't be a bigger Amazon advocate.
And your product packaging, I have to say, is absolutely gorgeous. Like, did you nail that out of the gate, or have you?
No. Oh my gosh. I've got, I think that was like box, like, well, we were a bag and then we were a box. I was constantly like, my family's like, you're box obsessed. I'm like, I very much am, because I'm an aesthetics girl. I like pretty packaging. I'm very proud of the way that landed. Like, we're sticking to it, but yeah,
That's another thing with Amazon opening it, as you're saying, like, evens the playing field for all of us. Like, we all get to play. I'm not a big brand and I sell my products and people don't know if I'm big or small.
Totally.
But then you put up photos of your beautiful packaging and it really elevates it and takes it to another level. So bravo on the packaging. Well, I was super impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun. I've definitely found my footing is in the branding, and when you have fun, it shows, it comes through, and it has been. And but really, I mean, I often wonder, like, if Amazon wasn't there for me in the beginning, it's like, how do you prove to others, like, give me that shot? It's just it's a great step in any one direction. You know, you can just, I could have been like, no, Amazon's my one-stop shop, but it just kind of flourished and grew beyond Amazon. But it's still by far and away my number one like channel that I sell the most product through. I think people, one thing about Amazon too, is that it's about trust, you know, for me. Like, I'm going to trust Amazon because I know I can buy it really easy. If it doesn't work out, I can send it back. Like, it's just, it's a trust factor. who's Nonpod? Like, what's a Nonpod? Who's Melissa Bamberg? Who cares? Like, it's not about me. It's not, no one really trusts me or my brand. I mean, that may be a different story today, but that's definitely when I started. Whereas Amazon's like trust, 100% trust factor. And just really, really gave me the start, gave Nonpod the start that it deserved.
Yeah. And that's a good way to put it too, because people take a chance on Nonpod because they trust Amazon and they have everything linked, especially when you do FBA and it's Prime. You did mention though, other weighted, I don't know if it's IMAS or blankets, but other probably same keywords as you, right? So competitors coming on as you were growing your brand. So how have you been able to continue to stand out on Amazon as more and more people have come on with similar keywords and products? Because you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Amazon has such great, you know, their features are just every year in the last, let's see, I've been selling with them for 10 years. So there's a lot of innovation, you know, like, for example, like the A+ content. I don't know if your listeners know what A+, but like if you go to a store, you might get to scroll down and see a little more information about the brand or the product. And it feels a little bit more curated, like a website. So, you know, it really is, you stand out in your, I think when they say a photo's worth 1,000 words, like it's, or a million or whatever the quote, you know, it's true. It's, your photos are really important. I would just say photography, utilizing, if you're able to utilize their A+ content features.
Yes, I do love the A+, and now you can unlock even more like the premium A+. So yeah, that's a good point. You can have, I mean, you have a website. I have a very limited small website for my brand because Amazon provides so much real estate. I just keep linking back to Amazon. I'm like, just
yes,
go.
Right. Go buy over there. And I love their, like for websites, they have now I'm in the process of enabling the buy with Prime, which I think is really awesome. Mm-hmm. So if they go to the website, it's like, you know, I love your website and maybe you have something that I don't know. You're drawn to the website for whatever reason. And then you see buy with Prime. It's like, there's that trust factor again. Like I trust that. So it's really about trust, I think.
Yeah. And that's what it is, especially with your product and something going on people's face. You have a lot of that trust. And as your brand, how have you positioned the brand to get people to not only trust you, but also learn and educate and believe about the deep touch pressure that you were telling us about?
Well, like I definitely share like the science behind, like, this is not something I created. Like I'm not, I think deep touch pressure, does that sound like a good word? Like, no, this is science. I like to celebrate the science and uplift the science. I mean, it was, you know, for all of those years, just really talked about and used in this small clinical space, like to be the champion for that and to really highlight that. And, you know, when others started to join the space, it's like, great. Cause I'm here to tell you, pioneering something is like, that's not necessarily what I set out to do in the beginning, but I realized midway through, I'm like, this is challenging. It's like, oh, it's because there's nobody else selling anything like what you're selling. So the fact that there are others gives you, you know, although you can feel like, depending on your category, there are a lot of others around you, you'll find ways to stand out. And, you know, and because Amazon makes it such an even playing field, that I love that. I really do. I think that's a feature that is, you know, for someone brand new selling against a brand that isn't so brand new, it's just an opportunity.
It is. And one of the things I love about being a brand owner and running the show myself is that, and this is true, I started selling in 2021 and I knew when I was launching, I was going up against big brands. I thought, you know what? Those brands have employees and I have passion and love for my product and my customer. Oh my God.
Ophelia, girl, that's how I started this. Like one of one. It's like, boy, I had to get one of those like headsets so I could be hands-free because they were so helpful with like, click here, click there. Like, I got to do this. Like, I got to find a way to do this. But nobody knows when they're shopping if there's one employee or 20. Yeah.
I know. And with beautiful photography and your whole page built out. And that's a good tip for all the listeners who are selling and or want to sell. You just got to keep building out your brand page and your product listing page.
And there's so many resources now. It's incredible. Like when I go all the way back to 2010, and I kind of think about the landscape then, it just wasn't what it is today. Today it is so like, gosh, it is really incredible how many freelance and websites help you achieve your brand goals. Like it's really cool to see so many brands being supported by founders that have a founder story. I mean, I was at Target the other day and I'm going down grabbing some quick things on the way home, like toothpaste and some just quick grabs. And I'm noticing Colgate, some big brand, it's kind of a big conglomerate, making their packaging look a little more simple, like, oh, almost like to fit into the culture of a founder story, if you will, like, hey, it's time. It's like, today's the day. This time is the perfect time. It's like, it's just the culture of supporting founders and small businesses. And, Amazon's just such a great place for independent sellers and just to feel like they're as big of a brand as any other.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, you're a leader in a women-owned business. And I do think it's crucial for consumers and businesses to support all entrepreneurs, and especially for women entrepreneurs and women to support other women entrepreneurs. And I get that vibe from you. Like, I feel that from you.
I was nominated Ernst & Young for Bay Area Entrepreneur of the Year last year. And there were 22 of us nominees, and I didn't win, but I was so honored to be in this group. And you have this like interview process, and they asked me some question. And I said, okay, I'm going to answer this and you're going to like cringe maybe, but it's female intuition. Like, there was some question that I was being asked by a panel of, or a couple of gentlemen. And I was like, female intuition, it's a thing. Like, and I use it. And I know like there's, yeah. So, you know, I love, you know, collaborating with women because there's just something to that innate. I don't know. There's something sort of special about collaborating with other women. And I have such a great group of female employees. Like, we're just, it's a vibe and it's real and it's on fire. It's really something.
It is. And congrats on being nominated for Ernst & Young. That's awesome. I follow those entrepreneurs and I've gone to many of those award shows. So that's an honor to be nominated.
It totally was. Yeah.
So let's talk about your expansion. So you started on Amazon and you've been utilizing the platform to grow your sales and build your brand and get the word out. How did it come about for other platforms? I know you've mentioned Target.
Yeah, I think from like brand growth beyond Amazon would be, for me, it was trade shows. You know, in a post-COVID world, we've done a few, things have changed. There's a lot that's just changing. But prior to COVID,
I was doing a lot of traveling, a lot of trade shows, meeting a lot of buyers, you know, making connections with people that way. But it's also, there is an lift over time and just an organic lift. You know, I say Nod Pod likes to go out and make babies. Like someone has one, they love it, they evangelize, they buy for others. There's just, if you have built a really great thing that you're very proud to share, it just has that effect too. So there's just, it's just been, I would say just guerrilla marketing, hustling, just kind of, there's a lot, but it all comes down to like, oh, your reviews on Amazon look great. Cause you know, you can't like, Amazon's like a truth source too. Like, you know, if you've got good reviews on Amazon, that is worth bragging about. So
yes, reviews matter. And Amazon takes their reviews very, yes, very serious.
Oh yes. Yeah. So,
and that goes back to trust. And yeah, it sounds like you kind of built this brand off of the principles that Amazon's teaching everybody. It's like, you need to have good customer service. You need to convey what problems you're solving and be a human.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. So let's talk about product development. We're talking about customer feedback, and I feel like that kind of spills into having to have a good product if you want to be successful on Amazon. So how has this impacted just your product evolving?
That's such a great question. It's so important to point out how important bad reviews are to your business. Do not dismiss 3-star and below reviews. Like, they matter. Like, they're going to give you insight into something that you maybe didn't think of, or, oh wow, we're seeing something consistently being complained about, or like, it really is, because it's very expensive. I've looked into it when I first started the, those think tanks or those, where you can, groups of people, like, where you just send product and they give you their feedback, kind of unbiased,
I want to say think tank, but I know what you're talking about. Like those research groups.
It's very expensive. It's like, wow, instead it's like, well, I can't afford that. So I guess I'll just kind of hope that people love it as much as my friends and family do, and then put it on Amazon and just wait for the reviews. And oh my gosh, it's still actually to this day, all these years later, one of the first things I do in the morning is I go to my reviews and I just read the reviews, because they all, you must, it's the most, it's the pulse, it's the, you read the tea leaves, like, ooh, are we seeing something consistently bad being reviewed, or is it just so great? And you celebrate it all, but there's so much to be learned from the negative reviews that are really important. You're like, oh, it's kind of nice to let that roll off your back. So in the beginning, when you're like, one review, two reviews, three, four, five, you're like, oh. But it helped me to shape my brand, actually, because people, for example, on Amazon, my first group of reviews were like, oh, it's not very comfortable for side sleeping. Like, but how can that be? I've developed it for side sleeping. It's meant for side sleepers, but can be worn in any sleeping position. So when I'm reading these reviews, I went back to the drawing board, and that's when I looked at the package insert and how can we change this? I need to change the time A plus didn't exist, but I need to change some content to show graphically how, so they're very important to help you shape your future, your brand and your product.
Now, I work with a lot of new sellers, and it's hard when people start selling and get negative reviews, and it hurts. And look, I've gotten some bad reviews.
Oh my God, it does.
It just hurts. What advice do you have?
It hurts so bad. Oh,
I know. Give me some advice for all of us who get bad reviews.
Well, it does hurt. Like, it hurts. And especially if you feel like,
I don't know. There's some that are, like I said, there's some that will really start to shape, like, wow, if I'm seeing this consistently, you know, like, for example, we're a dog friendly office. That's my Yorkie on the other side of the wall. Like,
I love it.
Winston, who's like, Mom, are you done? There was value in those negative feedbacks. And when I shifted my marketing strategy and showed better pictures and I described it differently, it was like the reviews went from 1-2 star to consistent 5. Amazing for sight sleeping. Love it for sight. So it, you lean into that. You have to. There's going to be the one-offs where you're like, did you really, like, are you having a bad day? This seems really personal, you know? And, but others, I think, are, like I say, read the tea leaves. Maybe it's telling you you should shift a little, you know, in a way that will eventually benefit you and your brand and your sales. But I'm sorry, when they say, oh, it's business, or don't take it personal, I'm like, oh, it still hurts. And you still read some and you're like, ooh, ouch. That stings a little.
It does sting. But I like how you said, just address it, and you can address it in your A+ content. You can address it in your bullet points, description. And that's a perfect example. You're side sleeping. You're like, hey, actually, I'm going to address that instead of trying to ignore it.
Yes.
Great advice. That I really like that. So let's talk about community and networking. Has that played a role for you in your brand's success, like finding supportive communities, maybe even other women sellers?
I have not had, we're just now this year sort of really launching into a dedicated sort of community space, like with social media and, you know, people in certain verticals and spaces, and just trying to create more of a sense of community in that way. I mean, you know, it's tough as you're a small brand and you're brand new to it all. That comes with time, you know, like the community and the community, like events and, you know, COVID just, God, didn't it just throw a wrench in all of our lives? I mean, it feels like it was a million years ago, but it really did shifted a lot, I feel. But I'm just from a community aspect, like it's, you know, I personally miss, you know, doing more traveling and like community events and just meeting people. Like, this opportunity is so fun. And I hope that anything that I've shared has helped someone, you know, listening. But we're just getting more into like community, and that it matters, you know. But
yeah, I love that. So you're still growing and you're going to grow your community and expand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I think we're all trying to do that. And you're right, COVID did kind of flip everything.
It just did.
It really did. And it's funny, we're still feeling the impact of it. And a lot of things are now online, which is very cool. But it is a little different to get out to events. I love any Amazon events. I highly recommend anybody listening tries to go to, like, Accelerate coming up in September, and just being able to get out there. Even if you're not where you think you should be selling on Amazon, it's still so helpful to get out there and network and learn from other people.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah. It was all my learning was done at events, trade shows, like community spaces. Everyone's there to share best practices. It's such a neat thing, really. And it's so vital to your business, to growth, to just sharing, learning.
I know. One thing I learned, which is kind of interesting, is when I first started selling on Amazon, I really believed this. I thought everybody was crushing it. I was like, of course everyone has $1 million businesses. Oh. I really thought that. And like, I was around the $200,000 mark 1 month, and I ran out of inventory, and I had, it just crushed me. I was like, I wanted to cry in my car, but I didn't have time because I had to hustle and get my inventory back up.
Yeah. I don't have time to cry over this.
I know. And that is when I started to just open up and admit like, hey, I made this mistake. I mismanaged my inventory and I had this, you know, fear of what was going to happen to my Amazon store. And
Right.
Because it was just this whirlwind. And that's when I learned that, you know, people build their brands different ways and everybody grows differently. So you don't really want to compare yourself to other people. Categories are different. It's all so, so different. And I learned that by kind of stepping out of my home office and getting out to into communities and meeting people and learning, just talking to other sellers, you know, like even talking to you, it's like, I have so much I could learn from you. And it's just so inspiring.
Oh, I'm just so happy to always be of any service to anyone, because I swear it's like, you know, anything, any objection you may have in your mind, like, I can't, like, why? Like, you can't, like, I'm here living proof of it. Like, I had no clue what I was doing. But as long as there's someone that you can find that's willing to give you the answer, like, it's just about making human connection.
Yeah.
Whether it's over the phone, Amazon support, anyone, is just making connection, asking the right questions and just going. Just like it's so possible for anybody to do just about anything. It's just make the connection, find the person. I think that circles back to the community, is like, because that's where there's a lot of people like you bumping around, doing some, you know, and you really come out of that on the other side, like, wow, that was great. You met some great people, I learned a lot. You know, there's a great book I'll just throw out there. Not all products are patentable. I mean, some can have design patents, which, you know, but from patent to profit is a great book for people like, I have an idea, but I'm afraid. And what if I, you know, I think there's a lot of fear when people have something they think is worth protecting. Like, they don't know who the first person is to trust, to tell. But it's a very good book that my patent attorney recommended, that, really was a great kind of roadmap, for those kind of going down that road. If I could offer one book recommendation.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Patent to product.
From patent to profit.
Oh, I love that. Tell me about patents, and when did you get a patent?
So there's two types of patents. I'll like try to give like the, like, the easiest version of a somewhat complex, system. There's a design patent and a utility patent. So a utility patent is a very difficult patent to get. I mean, and there's different degrees of protection. You can have a utility patent, but is it weak? Is it strong? They're all based on claims that are made. It's all text-based. Although there are some photographs that support your patent, it's all the function of, the utility of. It's all words. So that's why it's such strong protection. You can't take the utility of my mask and make the round pod square and say, oh, well, it's different. Whereas a design patent is a little bit like, you can take a commodity, a product that already exists, that's obvious to everyone, change it in some meaningful way, and get a design patent on that. So there's two types. But one of the best, the advice I got very early on was, build a brand. Like, don't worry too much about the product and your patent and how long you have it and what it means and will you be ripped off, knocked off. Build your brand. Build your brand. Because I've had plenty of little knockout, looks like a nod pod, or, oh, looks like our blanket, we have a body pod, weighted pod that has a design patent. My mask has a utility, but I'm like, oh yeah, okay. You know, imitation is the highest form of flattery, although it's frustrating. It's the brand. It's the brand that people kind of connect with and resonate with. And building a brand is, I think, far more important. Although, depending on your product, a patent could definitely be worthwhile. It's the brand that really stands the test of time. And your trademarks last a lifetime. They don't expire. So your all of your slogans, all of your branding is permanently and in perpetuity yours. So that's a crash course on trademarks and patents.
Yeah. I talk about trademarks a lot, specifically for brand registry on Amazon, which is very important.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, patents and utility and design. I love how you said it's about the brand because I had patents. I know I had patents on a couple of my products, and there were definitely imitations that came out. And I just had to ask myself, I am so overloaded right now. Do I have time to go
exactly
right against them?
Right, right.
I liked knowing I could.
Yeah. I hear you there. I've got that same situation on my hands right now, but I'm like, the brand wins, the brand wins. Cause you only have so much here and here, you know, I come home to my family, like, you know, you kind of have to weigh all of it. It's all this great big balancing act, really, you know, but the brand, you focus on the brand, you don't get distracted. You know, like, ooh, my competitor is the tit for tat. You can, it's, you know, but
yeah.
I turned on the movie the other day, The Never Ending Story.
Like, oh,
that's aging me. But you know, that scene where the horse like goes into that pit and like the sadder the thoughts, the deeper you sink.
Yeah.
That's training you. Like, no, think happy thoughts. Don't go down the pit.
Yes.
I kind of like, I'm like watching this movie with my kids, like, God, you can so quickly get sucked into that. If you focus on like this brand, oh, this, that, like stay in your lane. Don't like, just do focus on you, your brand. You know, I would say like have something that like an initiative, like how do you give back when you can get to a certain level with your brand, find a way to give back, you know, find a way to make your brand more than just about what you're selling. So, which is what we're doing right now. We have a website, some additions to our website. We support mental health. So we give 1% of our profits to a company called To Write Love on Her Arms. But I said, I want to do something. Can I do something that's just a little bit more here and now? And we're going to have a portal on our website where you can upload art, because I believe that art has a very healing, therapeutic, like, you know, when I go to petroglyphs with my kids and we're painting, like, God, I feel so relaxed. Like, art is just so healing. And I come from a family of artists. I have a sister who struggles with mental health, and the whole thing just kind of, it all just kind of came together. I'm like, gosh, I want to use the brand for good and to let people have a place where people can share their story and their art. And so it's, you know, it evolves. Everything is, you know, you'll always just sort of, I don't know. It's incredible. Just, yeah. But it all started with Amazon. Thank you. Thank you, Amazon.
Amazon angels. Well, I love your passion, and it has just been an honor to have you on the podcast. I definitely will have to have you back on to continue this conversation. I feel like we could dig in and talk about this forever. And I hope to see you at some of the Amazon events this year. It would be so great.
In real life.
In real life, yes.
Yeah.
Isn't there, that's like IRL.
IRL. My kids keep me up on all the,
hip and cool. Well, congratulations on all of your success. And for everybody listening, you can go check out Nod Pod on Amazon for sure. And Melissa Bamberg, it's been such an honor to be able to host you today. And until next time, stay fearless.
If you're already selling on Amazon or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.